Hello, hello, beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again. Oh, get ready for fun and adventure. Yes. You ready? What's one of the big things? How would you like more love in your life? How would you like more quality love in your life? Well, you've tuned in at just the right time. And get ready. You know we have a commitment here at Advanced Living Radio to bring value to your life each and every week and to make it something that you can bring into your life, feel better, improve your life, and to have it done in a way where it's not years and years of muss and fuss and massive difficulty to make changes. And that's one of our key themes. And we're so excited that the show Advanced Living Radio is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com, the home of the Comfort Clock, a wonderful technology used by many celebrities, Jack Canfield, Reverend Michael Beckwith, Dr. Eva Selhub, taught at Harvard for medical school for 7 years. Check that out. You'll find a simple instrument to plug in that'll make your life better. And now for the treat. Oh, my gosh. Have you ever gotten into relationships where you felt like you were giving yourself away, where you were twisting yourself into a pretzel to actually try to get some of your needs met? Well, how would you like to start feeling worthy to be loved every day and to get that without falling into a place of sacrifice all the time? Yeah, how'd you like to just imagine being loved and be in loving, supportive relationships while you get to be authentic and your true self? Well, our guests today, Orna and Matthew, are here to not only tell us how to do that, but they're walking the talk, and they're going to go in and explain a little bit of their pathway to getting there. Now, Orna, to give you a little bit more, Orna Benari, she's a native of Los Angeles, a lifetime of dedication to grow and live at her highest and best self. And she came through, like so many of us, a tumultuous childhood with violence and emotional abuse, and she'd been determined to place no blame on other people and take responsibility to creating a fulfilling life for herself. Well, she thought she was on her path, and on New Year's Eve of 1994, the man that she was living with, who she had intended and thought, I'm going to marry this guy, as a New Year's Eve treat, beat her. I don't know. There's probably some better way to spend New Year's Eve, but it was a big wake-up call for her, and so she realized that if she didn't make some big changes, that it was going to just not be what she wanted. So she ended up studying the science of hand analysis as a base, and she made a quantum leap in valuing herself and allowing her transformation to transform a relationship basically with herself. Let's start with us, right? No one can love us more than we love ourselves. And so she was opening and receiving real respectful love. So that was the beginning of her trip through that. And she's been in the entertainment business as an entertainment executive, and then made a jump to being a life purpose coach, and of course the profession of this hand analysis, which is amazing stuff. And she's been addressing her own issues and helps others to address their issues of their life lessons. And she's just being of tremendous service. Well, when you see their website and what they're doing, you'll be amazed. And so she is literally the premier hand analysis in Los Angeles, the entertainment capital of the world, and she's been on Fox 11 News, NBC, DailyCandy.com, just to name a few. And her partner, Matthew Walters, amazing gentleman, 15 years in the entertainment industry, and then began a career in personal growth. And like so many of us, once again, a period of bad choices and major setbacks in his life took him through what I love that people call the dark night of the soul, or living hell, or craziness off the chart, whatever you want to call it, going nuts. And the good news is we get to the other side of it. And for Matthew, he began the practice of yoga and meditation so he could find peace in his daily life. And it was during that time that he basically grabbed hold of the idea, okay, I'm taking responsibility for my life, and that what's happening in my life, I can create that. And so he went in to see some different people for some therapeutic support and educational support, and wow, huge breakthroughs. And one of the things that was used so effectively in support of him that he uses is hypnotherapy. And he went on to study hypnotherapy, neurolinguistic programming, therapeutic imagery, among other things, for basically transforming, because his background growing up in the state of Missouri showed me very practical. He says, look, I want to see something that works, and I want something that gets results quickly. And so Matthew has become a creative consultant to artists and entrepreneurs, general, just all of us out here, to overcome stress and anxiety and overwhelm. He works out of his office in Beverly Hills or over the phone, and he's appeared on USA Network, among other TV and radio appearances, and he's the co-founder of the most comprehensive hypnosis download website. Yeah, exactly. Downloadsforchange.com. And we're going to learn about how these two amazing individuals are creating love for themselves, and a workshop creating love on purpose for all of us. Welcome, Orna and Matthew.
Thank you, Ken.
Hi, Ken. Thanks so much.
I'm so delighted that I could get you guys on the show.
Yeah, we're supposed to be here as well.
Well, thank you. Now, I want to ask you, Orna, can you explain a bit about the work you do and why you've chosen this path with your business?
Sure. You know, I always think it's funny when I talk about my business, because I like to say I'm the reluctant entrepreneur. Having worked in the entertainment industry and having quite a bit of success in that field, I really never thought I would be doing something else, and I certainly never thought I would have my own business. But when I utilized the science of hand analysis and the information that was given to me through the work that came from my hands, really transformed so much in my life that really I'm at a place where I say, you know, I want to shout from the rooftops. Like, I feel like I'm really the most unlikely candidate to have this kind of spiritual partnership and this kind of lovely relationship, the one that I have with Matthew. And so I want to be able to say, you know, if I could do this, you can do it too. You can, you, anyone listening out there, it's really possible for you to have love, real true love, without constantly compromising or sacrificing or doing any of the things that, you know, when you go off to couples therapy, they have you usually, you know, coming to a place where, you know, oh, I'll compromise this if I can get some of that. And it doesn't feel very empowering. And really, Matthew and I, what we want to do, you know, with people, what we do with our clients individually, and why we created this workshop, is to have people have the actual transformation, because the relationship with you is reflected back at you in your intimate relationships. And when I talk about the science of hand analysis, people often think, oh, you know, she's a palm reader. And, yes, you know, there are people out there that do predictive readings based on the lines in your palm, but that is not the science of hand analysis that I utilize with my clients. Basically, in the hand, I find out all kinds of information about you, the arenas you're gifted in, or what we call your life purpose, your blind spot arenas, the arenas you must master to live in the fulfillment of your purpose. Those are your life lesson arenas, and they're cyclical, right? It's the thing you hit over and over again, and it feels like this great wall of China. And all the information is right there in your hand on how to really live at your highest and best self. And there's lots of key information specifically around relationship. For instance, your non-negotiable need in relationship, right? It's that thing that you have to have or the relationship will not survive. And it's the thing you must not sacrifice. And when we are in relationships where we're twisting into a pretzel to get love, it tends to be the one thing we sacrifice right off the bat, hoping that we'll get love that way. And we actually have to have that need met in order for the relationship to move forward and to stay together.
Oh, my gosh. You mean we often give up the most important thing to get what we want and then end up really disappointed because we have to have it?
Absolutely. You know, when we sacrifice our non-negotiable need, we're actually sending a message to the universe that says, I don't matter. And the universe, now whatever you want to call that, right? God, goddess, source, divine, mother, whatever your term is for that, you know, you will never be supported in being invisible. You will never be supported to go down the path of being less than all of who you are. And when you sacrifice that non-negotiable need, you're sending that message of I don't matter. And that dooms the relationship. Because you will never be supported to be in a relationship where you don't feel like you matter. So it's the one need you have to have met in relationship in order for that relationship to be fulfilling and for it to move forward.
Mm. Wow. Oh, boy, there's some more I want to talk about that. And I want to blend in some of the other aspect because part of your workshop is going to be dealing with hypnotherapy, and I know I have background. I worked in a clinic where we would help people to go into a trance state, and they'd stop smoking or doing different kind of habit patterns like that. But how are you using this stuff a little bit with your work?
Sure, Ken. See, the thing with the Creating Love on Purpose workshop that Orna and I are doing is we're really bringing together the work that each of us did on ourselves, which was a very different paths that we both took. But we're combining that work together in one workshop, the Creating Love on Purpose workshop, so that, you know, people can get the benefit of both of these kinds of work. Now, the thing about how we're going to be using hypnosis and hypnotherapy, and especially NLP, we're going to be looking a lot at what that subconscious story is that you're carrying around about relationship. I mean, everybody's got their story, right? Everybody's got their heartache. Everybody's got their type of person that they just can't seem to get away from, that they're just always attracted to, and yet that person is like their, you know, it's their Achilles heel. You know, it's that one person that's just going to get inside of them and really, you know, twist them about a lot. And there's something about sort of this subconscious story that we carry around from childhood that we're trying to reenact and we're trying to heal when we find ourselves getting into relationship. So one of the exciting things we're going to do in the Creating Love on Purpose workshop is we're going to look at those subconscious stories and we're going to use the tools of transformation, hypnosis, NLP, therapeutic imagery, to shift that story right there and just be done with it.
Wow. Now, would there be possibly a quickie example of some kind of thoughts about relationship that many of us might have or that you see a number of people, you know, coming up with? So.
Sure. I'll give you a great example from a client of mine, somebody I've been working on and off with for the last year. And when we were doing the work with her, we were really dealing with her relationship with her mother, which was actually affecting, in a really negative way, her relationship with her son. And when we got down to the work, what we discovered was, this is a person whose mother, her whole life has been jealous of her, and created, pretty much from the moment she was born, a competitive environment between her and her father. So, It's like the mother saw the daughter as competition for love and attention from her husband. And what this woman discovered and what we came across when we were doing some timeline work was we discovered that at the age of 2 years old, she was faced with a really important decision. And that decision was either A, to accept the story that was being given to her, that she was less than, that she was not valuable, that she was not worthy, that she was in some way even a danger to the relationship. And therefore, by accepting that story that was given to her, she would be accepted into the family. She would receive the love and security that all children need in order to survive. Or she had another choice, which was to basically say, these people are crazy. They don't know what they're talking about, and reject that story about her that was being given to her.
Ooh, but that's a toughie for a two-year-old.
Exactly. Oh. There's no way that a two-year-old can reject that story. And basically try to move out on their own. We're just too dependent in that point in our lives. And what most people don't realize is we do make conscious choices that early. I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Bruce Lipton in the Biology of Belief.
Yeah, somewhat.
But he talks about the difference between nature versus nurture, right? How much do our genes cause us to be a certain way, and how much does our environment cause us to be a certain way? And he says our genes are a determining factor until we reach the fetal stage. From the fetal stage on, it's nurture. It's our environment. Literally, we are making decisions about ourselves while we're still in the womb.
Wow.
So these are not stories you can get at through traditional talk therapy.
And the other piece, too, which is also formed in the womb, is part of what I bring to the table in hand analysis, because to me, really, the good stuff, you know, put that in quotes, the good stuff, is not so much in the lines of the palm. Now, the lines of the palm, certainly I look at, but the lines in the palm can change. They basically tell me about your characteristics and behavior. But formed in the womb, somewhere between 12 to 16 weeks in utero, are your fingerprints are formed, all 10 of them, and they remain the same throughout your entire life. And in the fingerprints is your specific soul's journey. And also in the fingerprints is an arena in hand analysis that we call school. And from school, that also tells me what your core fear is. And I believe that looking at this core fear and understanding how to move through that fear is a key element into raising the level of which you value yourself, because that's what's mirrored back at you in relationship, right? When we say your relationship with yourself, and that's what we're transforming in this workshop, because that's the work that Matthew and I both did to get to one another. We both shifted the relationship we were having with ourselves so that we can be in a space to be readily open to receiving the love we have for one another.
Wow. So it's one thing to have all this love inside of us, but you're saying it's a big other area to actually be able to receive it.
Exactly, because, you know, it's like Matthew was saying, our subconscious, right? Our subconscious and our conscious mind are separated by a filter. And that filter is the analytical mind or the critical mind. And that is the piece that's deciding what you're going to take in and hold on in that conscious piece of your brain. So out of all the information coming at you, it's being decided by this critical mind or analytical mind. And actually, Matthew can explain this even much better because it's really the work he does. And it's this piece that we're looking at, because we can desire love and we can desire to be attracted to a different kind of person, but how we're hardwired, who we're attracted to is who we're attracted to. On some level, that is set because we're trying to solve something. For example, for myself, I over and over again was attracted to men that were unavailable to me, either unavailable because they were literally married to someone else, or because they were emotionally unavailable and, you know, were using some sort of drug or alcohol to sort of be unavailable, right? An addict personality. I knew that if you picked, you know, 100 guys with my same physical type that I was attracted to, and you stuck 100 of them in a room, 99 were sober and clean, and one had an addictive, you know, personality or whatever you want to call that piece of him, I would pick that guy. I would pick the 100th guy, the one that was the addict guy, the one that would be unavailable to me for one reason or another. And I remember I did years and years and hours of traditional talk therapy, which I do find beneficial on some level, but it doesn't give you the transformation. It simply gives you the cognitive understanding of your behavior. So I went into therapy and I said, okay, so I'm attracted to men who are unavailable. How am I ever supposed to be in a relationship? And my therapist looked at me and she said, well, look at all the work you're doing on you. You're going to find the guy who's done that much work on him so you can meet at that level. And that's the work that Matthew is talking about, the work that he's done on himself, so that he could be available to me.
You know, just look a little bit about my story around relationship. I'm sort of the classic story of a lot of men, right? I was always attracted to the women who were not interested in me, the ones who were unavailable. It's like, wow, that was the one that really lit me up. And then there was always that woman next to me who was like, wow, you're great, you're awesome. And I'm like, whatever, I don't even want to talk to you.
Oh.
And, you know, what really that is, it's a story on a certain level of self-hatred. Because you're really not accepting of yourself. And how that shows up is you're attracted to the person who rejects you, and you're not attracted to the person who says, wow, you're perfect just as you are. I don't need you to change. And so that's a big part of the work that I did with myself, which was
about
accepting who I am.
And
coming to light all of those aspects of myself, you know, and there was a key of it as well, that I was an addict. You know, I've been sober for over 7 years, and that's a big part of this journey for myself.
Yeah, well, to me, that's a huge thing to be able to have you two offer a safe place where a person can take what is really a very intensely confrontive concept that says, okay, those people out there are doing some pretty mean things. And chances are, if the relationships aren't working, yes, they are. And then to be able to be in a setting with the two of you and to be able to go, okay, wow, what they're doing to me is just a reflection of how I'm treating myself at some level.
Absolutely. And what's exciting about this Creating Love on Purpose workshop that we're going to be having here in Los Angeles in a few weeks is that this isn't about a cognitive understanding. What's going to happen with those participants in the room is they're going to have the transformation in the room. So the level at which you value yourself goes up to a higher level. What you believe you deserve also goes up to a higher level. So the amount of love that you can receive expands to another level. And really, you know, we're looking at love specifically in this Creating Love on Purpose workshop, but what we're really talking about is how we receive. Because how we receive anything is how we receive everything. So we're talking about love, but the same is true for money or health or anything else that we desire, because all of those things are an energy. Love is an energy, money is an energy, health is an energy. And really, we're talking about being able to expand that level of valuing yourself so you can open that space of receiving all of this limitless availability of abundance and love that's in the universe already.
Right. Now, and the focus in all of this is especially around love, because I'm guessing, and I want to know about different participants, but someone could participate that's basically, their life, you might say, is working very poorly. They're hurting financially. They're not healthy. They're out of shape physically, and they're not getting their needs met in loving relationships. So, I mean, that's like a pretty owie everywhere you go. Someone could possibly actually be very successful in business and maybe have a lot of money, but their relationships in terms of intimacy, could you give us the scope of people who could participate with you and why?
Certainly, we've made it quite simple. Anybody who's ever been in a relationship, is currently in a relationship, wants to be in a relationship, or maybe even thinks, you know what, I've given up. There's no way I'm ever going to end up in a relationship. These are the people who would benefit from this work, you know, because it's really about that relationship with yourself. And how do you value yourself? I mean, Ken, you understand the idea that the world around us is a reflection of what's going on inside of us. The people that we run into all the time are reflecting back to us aspects of ourselves. And when we start to really embrace that idea and really live that idea as truth, then you really begin to see that what you're receiving from the people around you is a perfect example of what you allow yourself to receive for yourself. It's a perfect reflection of your own limitations, your own negative self-talk, your own negative beliefs about yourself, your own limitations.
And also, I want to make it clear to the listening audience that if you're in a relationship right now, and this sounds exciting to you, but perhaps your partner, not so much, it's really okay. You don't have to come as a couple to this workshop. Now, I will say this, a classic example of a typical male-female relationship, you know, is that she may want emotional connection from her partner and he may want some personal freedom, which is a very common dance that happens in a relationship. And the thing about that dance is, you know, if somebody can, either one of those people can come to our workshop without their significant other, raise the level at which they value themselves, and then go home to their partner at another space, and they'll find that the relationship will shift even if that other person didn't go through the weekend. Now, will they receive a lot more if both come to the workshop? Absolutely. But what I'm saying is, if your partner won't come, but you feel like it's something inside of you where you know this is the right place for you to be in a few weeks, that you want to come to Creating Love on Purpose and shift that for yourself, then you should come without your partner, because you will receive this quantum leap in how you value you. And I promise you that it will become very clear whether your partner is able to make that jump or not. And it will become very clear about what kind of relationship you're in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a very important. I know there's the times where we go getting good advice, and good advice is lovely. You're like, okay, well, take better care of yourself. We'll value yourself more. We'll love yourself more. But you're going to go way beyond that at this workshop, aren't you?
Oh, definitely. We're looking at using the tools of transformation so that people can take that knowledge that they have in their conscious mind and actually begin to live it inside, in their subconscious, in their body, in that sense of knowing. You know, learning does not happen with your conscious brain. We all know the example of that list of things that we know we should do, that we know, wow, if I did this, if I did that, then I'd be happy, I'd be healthy, all of these things. And yet we run up against that, the fact that we don't do those things, right? What I would suggest is you may have an understanding consciously of what those activities are, or what those actions are, but you certainly do not know them. You certainly have not learned them. Because when you learn something, then it's like part of who you are. And you take action on it. And that's what we're interested in. People taking action. People living their lives at their highest and best selves.
Wow. Wow. That was important.
And I'm sorry, Ken.
No, Orna. Go ahead. Because I also wanted to ask you what, from your standpoint of your work, what you feel is the most important key ingredient to a successful relationship. So
I'm so glad you asked that, actually. I'm just going to backtrack just a pinch, because I just wanted to dovetail a bit on what Matthew was just saying, because really when I coach my clients, what I find is that many of my clients are like me. They're very high-functioning intellectual. You know, I graduated with honors from UCLA. I was always in the gifted children's program. You know, I'm labeled as one of those people who's quote-unquote smart, and yet here I was in this relationship that you talked about on New Year's Eve of 94 with a man who not only was an alcoholic and I didn't recognize it, but who actually beat me up physically. And that was a light switch where I was like, oh my gosh, if I keep sleepwalking through my relationships, I'm going to keep selecting what's familiar and not at all what I desire. because manifestation, actual transformation, doesn't happen from the brain space. You can read all the books you want, and you can keep going out to seminar, and hear people talk about the transformations they've had. But until you circumvent the brain that is keeping you stuck where you are and actually shift and take care of the subconscious blocks that are keeping you from really having the things you want, you will keep spinning in that same cycle. Now, what's really important in any relationship, that's the key ingredient, really, anywhere you look, so whether that's parent-child, friend-to-friend, lover-to-lover, the most important thing in any relationship, Ken, is to remember that the other person is not you. The other person,
well, that seems simple. There's got to be more to it than that.
Well, you're right. I mean, that's a simple way of saying it, but you have to remember that when you're in a relationship and you spend a lot of time with somebody,
yeah,
you have an expectation that's almost unsaid. You have an expectation that they will respond to stimuli the same way you will, that they will want to do the same things, that they will have the same reaction to the same events. And the fact is the other person is not you means that they have their own story, right? Matthew will respond differently to the same situation than I. And Matthew has a different non-negotiable need in relationship than I have. Because attraction, right, what actually causes attraction is born out of the differences between two people. When I do couples readings and hand analysis, right, and I look at two sets of hands and fingerprints in a relationship situation, I look at where the overlap is and where the differences are. And oftentimes, you know, you will find that most of the time in a good relationship, some of the core stuff will overlap. But where there's always a differentiation is in the behavior. In other words, the non-negotiable need in relationship is different because that's where attraction is created. We're attracted to someone because they're different than us. You know, it kind of makes me laugh at those online dating website things, right, where you take questionnaire after questionnaire about the things you like and don't like, and then they're going to go out and, they're going to go through their databases and send you the photos and profiles of the people that match your interests. And then you talk on the phone, you swap a couple emails, you meet in person, and what do you find out? No spark, right? No spark. Again and again, right? No spark. That's because what they've matched you up with is a platonic friend, someone you want to go hang out with and go get a mani-pedi with, see a movie, catch a ball game. Attraction is actually born out of the differences, right? We've already established Matthew used to have an addictive personality. I'm so not an addict. I don't have that. That doesn't exist within me, right?
Yeah.
It's
wow.
Completely separate from who I am.
Huh. Now, I'm curious. Mentioned these non-negotiable needs and that yours and Matthew's are different.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know if it was something to give us a bit of an example. Can you share what those are?
Absolutely. So what I require in intimate relationship is emotional connection. So I need to feel emotionally connected to Matthew. Now, I do not need to feel emotionally connected to Matthew 24/7, okay?
Yeah.
Because if you're, and a lot of times people who have this non-negotiable need, if it's not being fulfilled some of the time, the angst on it turns into this feeling of they think they need it 24/7. I certainly don't need it from him 24/7, but I need to know when to ask for it. I need to know, you know what, hey, can I have a minute? Can we talk for a second? Can I connect with you? Or if I'm feeling disconnected from Matthew, he just had a cold a couple weeks ago, and even after he was getting better, you know, he sort of turned the corner on it. We sort of got back to our regular activities. You know, there was one day where I was just feeling disconnected, and I said, hey, what's going on with you? And he goes, you know, I just don't feel good today. And I was like, oh, okay. I have to realize that he's on his own journey. I'm not dependent on Matthew for my happiness. I don't need him to be in a certain space for me to plug into happy. That is up to me to plug into happy. So in other words, I need to fill my cup to overflowing and take care of that myself, and then I need to know that it's important that I get emotional connection from Matthew a lot of the time. I mean, not 24/7, but a good chunk of the time he's available to me and we're connected. And if I feel a disconnect, I get to ask and find out what's going on, and I'll find out 10 out of 10 times it has nothing to do with me if there's a disconnect. He's just in his own space.
Wow, this is so important. If I'm hearing you correctly, if a person is feeling, and we just kind of glom this into one broad sweeping term called needy type of a thing, that, okay, something's not getting done, the needs aren't, certain needs aren't being met, some of these non-negotiables aren't being met, and then it turns into almost a compulsion
exactly.
of getting that need met. But through your help and Matthew's help, a person can, one, learn what these non-negotiables are, and then get healthy enough within themselves where, yes, they can get them met, but if it's not getting met, they don't go berserk over it.
Right.
Bingo.
Let's use the example of my non-negotiable need in relationship.
Okay.
Personal freedom, right? And,
yeah.
What's interesting about personal freedom when it comes to being in a relationship, one of the things that Orna and I established early on in our relationship is I get what are called putter days, right? And these are days where I just get to putter around and do whatever I need to do, and it's my space and my time, and it's not about me being there for her, right? Because it's required for me to recharge. I need space away from people, right? Some you know, you could call it cave time if you want. And what's really interesting is when you don't ask for that, when you don't ask for your own personal freedom, your own time in which you can recharge, what's going to happen is you're going to feel resentful. You're going to feel frustrated. You're going to feel claustrophobic. You're going to feel hemmed in the relationship, right? Because you're probably in a relationship with somebody whose non-negotiable need
is emotional connection.
Because that's the attraction, right? That's the opposites attract kind of thing. And so that's a person who's going to be very comfortable if they are with you 24/7, right? Because they're going to be like, hey, I want emotional connection. The more I can get, the better. You know, so they're never going to willingly just go away.
And the other piece, too, you know, what's really important is you have to remember it's so important to know your non-negotiable need in a relationship, because at the beginning of the relationship, right, when you connect and the spark and, ooh, everything's all ignited and you're feeling so good, what these people who are wired for personal freedom, suddenly that's fallen by the back burner. And so when I work with my clients who require personal freedom in relationship, I remind them to keep that going even at the beginning of the relationship, so that when things settle into quote-unquote comfortable, now they're not going to freak that person out by saying, hey, I need a little space, right?
Yeah.
This is like a classic situation, right? You got this guy who needs some space, but at the beginning of the relationship, he's like, can't get enough. Like, oh, you're so accessible to me, and you're so emotional, and this feels so good. And I used to always be confused. I used to say, wow, guys always leave me for the same exact thing they told me they were attracted to me to begin with. Like, how does this work? I was so confused when I was in my 20s, right? I'm like, well, they liked this about me, and now they don't like this about me. What did I do wrong, right?
Yeah.
And the reality is when you require personal freedom in your intimate relationship, just take that time all the way through the relationship, and you set up a pattern of that person not thinking that it's personal, because it's not personal. It's how that person's hardwired. They simply just want their space. It has nothing to do. When Matthew wants his space, it's like, that has nothing to do with me. I'm perfectly fine giving him his space. But I knew by looking at his hands that he was going to require that.
Ah, see, that's one of the things that looking at the hands, you can say, okay, here, this is your non-negotiable. And I guess, and for each of us, there's one of these key things that is kind of like our driving pattern.
Well, in relationships. So the heart line specifically tells me what your non-negotiable need is. And it makes it sound really like everybody is, you know, going to fall into a cookie-cutter box. And quite frankly, no. I mean, when I do work in front of groups, you know, that's the one thing I'm answering at the back of the room after, you know, the session is over, because one hand might be one way, the other hand's another way. So in other words, the lines and the palms don't necessarily behave, and there are people who are more complexly wired than others. Ken, have you ever met a woman who gives you mixed messages?
Oh,
come here, go away. Come here, go away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's somebody who they're confused, right? Their heart line is one way in one hand and another way in another hand, and that's conflicting. Could you imagine requiring, needing to have meaning in your relationship, but also requiring passion? Those are almost mixed messages as well, or requiring, both passion and personal freedom, or, they can get very conflicting. So what I'm saying is, it may sound simple. No, your non-negotiable need, and you're good to go, but we're complex beings. There's lots of layers to be uncovered.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And the participants at your workshop are going to have all of this clearly put forward to them, and this is, in 2 days that they can learn these things?
Over 2 days, yeah.
Right. So when people come to the Creating Love on Purpose workshop, one of the first things they're going to do is they're going to get their hands printed, and with their thumbprints, their fingerprints as well. And Orin is going to look over those, and we're going to give them that information. It's not going to be a full-on hand reading, but it's just going to be zeroed in on the aspects of them that are part of who they are and how they are in relationship.
Okay, so part of it.
As information throughout the weekend, right, to help guide them to really finding their best place.
Wow, that's so important, because there's people that spend years and huge amounts of money in therapeutic processes figuring out, who am I?
Exactly.
Well, that's exactly what I love about the hand analysis. Matthew talked earlier about getting, quick results, results quickly. And that's why I studied the hand analysis. I mean, I had a really lovely career as a development executive in the entertainment industry. But when I realized the power of, wow, in 5 minutes I know exactly how somebody's hardwired, like a laser focus to the core of who you are, that is so fascinating to me. The science of hand analysis is so powerful, and I really feel like it's part of my life purpose to really bring this science into the spotlight arena so people understand this is not a prognosticating, predicting the future science. That's not what we're talking about. This is a science that really cuts like a laser to the core of who you are and shines a light in there so you can take that information and transform your life for the better.
Huh. Wow. Now, is there a website for all this?
It's creatingloveonpurpose.com.
Okay. Creating Love on Purpose. Not by accident, but on purpose?
Not by accident.
Exactly.
That's important, isn't it?
It's completely important. What's really fascinating, just to finish that creating love on purpose thing, I created a couple of ideal scenes when I was going about doing my own work, right? I wrote them down. I knew exactly what was going to happen, what it was going to feel like when those events happened. And what's really great is they happened when I met Orna, both of those events. But they happened in a completely different way than I originally envisioned them.
Can you share a little bit about?
I'll give you the first example. So
yeah,
one of
please.
My favorite places in Los Angeles is a place called the Lake Shrine. It's a place built by the Self-Realization Fellowship.
Oh yes.
It's a beautiful garden that surrounds a lake, and there's a windmill chapel and places to meditate. It's just one of the most peaceful, beautiful places in Los Angeles. So in my first ideal scene, I had written down that on an early date that we were walking around the lake, and in that walk we were talking about our spiritual path, and we were talking, we were just connecting in that way about those events. And so when Orna and I first met, and I was at, early on in the relationship, I was at her apartment, and she had a little vision board. And on this vision board was a picture of the lake. And I went, oh, have you ever been to the Lake Shrine? She says, yeah, I love it. And I said, well, no, have you ever actually been to the services at the Lake Shrine? Because they have lecture services and meditation services and everything there. And she looked at me like, huh? Like, she didn't even know what I was talking about. And so we ended up going to one of the services, and then after that service we walked around the lake. And what's really great is the lake has become a big part of our relationship. We now both actually volunteer there at the services, and we're getting married there.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
That's wonderful. Okay, so that's how some of that tied in for you.
Exactly.
Huh.
That's that idea of setting intention, right, and really becoming clear on what you want and what it looks like and what it feels like, so that it really is, like you said, it's on purpose, it's not on accident.
Yeah. Now something that comes up for many of us with being through different relationships, and there's a phrase that broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people have been hurt and in some way, and I'm just wondering, being willing to participate again to get back into a relationship,
sure.
or so many, this is probably one of those key areas of people. Now, we know if we come to the workshop, we're going to be able to learn a lot about ourselves. How about this area? What can we do?
Yeah, this is one of the most important areas that we're going to be focusing on in the workshop. What happens in those heartaches, right, in those heartbreaks, is that we get stuck in certain emotional states. We hold on to that anger. We hold on to the resentment. We hold on to the sadness. Whichever stage we sort of get to in the grieving process of that heartbreak, right, unless we fully go all the way through it to acceptance, then there's a part of us that's still sort of attached to that old negative emotion. And it is the act of clearing those old negative emotions so that we can release ourselves from those past hurts. That's going to be a big part of what we're going to be doing over the weekend. It's really interesting what we'll do to get love. You know, we've mentioned early on, and you mentioned in the introduction, that idea of twisting into a pretzel to get love. And I want to give you a really just sort of really intense example of that, if you like, Ken. There was a study done in the 50s with these baby rhesus monkeys. And what they did with the babies was they took their mothers away and replaced them with various facsimiles of a mother. There was like a cloth doll, there was a metal doll, and there was one doll that actually had little spikes in it. So when the baby came up to the doll, the mother would poke it.
Ooh.
Actually, and hurt the baby, and the baby would run away. And what they found was really fascinating about this baby monkey, the one that kept getting poked over and over again, was they figured that after like 3 or 4 times, it would just give up. But what they discovered instead was that the baby just kept coming back for more. But every time it came back, it would use a different tactic. What if I come back shy and real quiet? What if I come back playful? What if I come back, really strong and aggressive? What if I come back, and each time getting poked, each time making a minor adjustment or a major adjustment on how the baby was presenting itself to the mother. And you could see this as kind of a pattern that a lot of us fall into in relationship. It's like, I went into that relationship and I thought, I'm going to be as open as I can be. And then we get hurt. We go, oh, okay, so maybe being open is not the way to go. So I'm going to come into this relationship and I'm going to stay a little guarded and I'm going to take my time in this relationship. And we get hurt again.
Yeah, or be hard to get, or be aggressive, or
it's like, and ultimately we end up just playing games. And the other people that were in the way trying to establish a relationship, they're playing these same games. And what's really fascinating is when you stop playing the game and just start being your authentic self with that other person, it gives them the space to also be their authentic self. And when you come together at that level, it's so completely different. Orna and I always talk, when we first met, there weren't fireworks. There wasn't this intense electricity. There wasn't this, wow, this amazing energy. What there was, though, was a really great, just warm connection. We just felt just so easy with each other and so friendly with each other. And just, when we left, we couldn't leave. We had a breakfast meeting together because we met at a business networking group. And they cleared our table, they reset the table, and they came to take our order again because we sat there for so long and thought we'd actually come back in to eat again. And it was just quite simply that we just enjoyed each other's company so much
yeah.
that we didn't want to part.
Wow.
And I think that's
really, kind of a good sign, isn't it, folks?
Exactly. And I think that's more the energy we're looking for. I oftentimes think people who run across that that really intense feeling when they first meet somebody, it's like, wow, this is so intense. It's like, it feels so great, but I'm a little unbalanced, right? But it's just so intense. There's such a strong, powerful connection. That what's really going on for them is their subconscious mind is actually giving them a fear response that they're interpreting as excitement.
Mm.
Their subconscious is saying, this is a person who's going to hurt you. I find this a lot with clients I have who have abusive backgrounds. That they'll meet that guy
That
girl, and they're just, it's so intense, right?
And yeah, I'm just sitting here.
It's so right and so true.
Yeah.
And yet what happens is they get into the relationship, they commit to it, and then that person turns out to be the same pattern of abuser that they knew from their childhood.
Huh.
And
does this relate, Matthew? I wanted to ask you a question here.
Sure.
You know, when you're talking about kind of getting into something and there's all this, you know, intensity,
right.
I was just thinking to myself, sometimes I've had some Mexican food, and
yeah.
It was so highly seasoned that after my first bite and my mouth is on fire,
right.
There's no taste to sensation to the rest of the meal because I'm basically burning up.
Exactly. Exactly. And you could confuse that as like, wow, that's really good flavor.
Yeah.
Right. Instead, what's really going on is your mouth is saying to you, this food is too spicy. You shouldn't be eating it. it's not going to come out good in the end.
Matthew. Excellent.
Yes.
Ooh, I love
appreciate
it.
That.
Thank you. That's great. Well, now let's see. We want to make mention again how to contact you when the workshop's coming up, other things if people can't do the workshop, how they can participate in having benefit of your vast experience and success to support their lives.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, I do want to give, Matthew and I talked, we want to give an offer to your listeners, Ken. So anybody who's listening, we're going to leave this offer open for 48 hours from now because this is our, this is the quote-unquote live broadcast. So let's say, I'm going to extend it an hour. So let's say by 6 p.m. Monday. So anybody who goes to our website, www.creatinglovonpurpose.com, and signs up for our two-day workshop that's September 12th and 13th here in Los Angeles, and if you sign up between now and 6 p.m. on Monday, this coming Monday, and sign up for the workshop, we're going to throw in an extra bonus. So we're going to give you a bonus of a 30-minute laser coaching session with your choice, either myself or Matthew, and that way you can start the work even before the workshop starts. The laser coaching session will give you that first step forward, so your work has already begun before you step through the doors of our workshop on September 12th. So once again, if you're interested in this workshop and really want to have love on purpose, not just by accident, you can go to our website, www.creatingloveonpurpose.com. And once again, you can sign up after Monday, but if you sign up by Monday, 6 p.m., you'll get a 30-minute laser coaching session as a bonus from us. And if you have questions, you can email either Orna@creatingloveonpurpose.com, or if you'd like Matthew to respond,
Matthew@creatingloveonpurpose.com. And you can also reach us about our individual work through those same email addresses. Orna does full-on hand analysis sessions with people as well as coaching. She's a really just powerful manifestation coach. I've listened to her work with her clients, and I want to sign up because it's just really great listening to her work and the way she works with her clients. I think it's wonderful. And also the work I do with the hypnotherapy work and the NLP, if you're in Los Angeles, I have an office in Beverly Hills, but also I work with clients on the phone all over the world, as does Orna, so you don't even have to be local to work with us. So all of that is just through creatingloveonpurpose.com. Or our email addresses, Orna@creatingloveonpurpose.com, or Matthew with two T's at creatingloveonpurpose.com.
And if you want, and you're in the if you're in the United States, you can call us toll free. I have a toll free line for my business, 888-774-HAND. So that's 888-774-4263. And you can leave a message there if you prefer to talk on the phone. And if you're interested in reaching Matthew, you can contact him through that number as well. I'll be happy to pass along the message. But Ken, we're just so honored that you asked us to be on the show together. We're really excited about this work. And, you know, if you're booked September 12th and 13th, but you know this is the workshop for you, please drop us an email. We've already started a wait list, or a list, for the next time we do this workshop, which will be done again, probably at a higher price point, but it will be done again. We're looking at doing this in Los Angeles maybe three or four times over the next year and a half, and then taking it on the road to other cities. So this is really going to be the cornerstone of our work that we bring, utilizing, you know, the NLP and hypnotherapy along with the science of hand analysis and bringing this work together so we can increase the amount of love that people receive here on the planet and create a better world for everyone.
Oh, that is wonderful. Wow. Thank you. Matthew, Orna, we have had an amazing time. Beloved listeners, thank you for tuning in. And just to go to their website, go to their workshop, and just thank you again for helping out. We'll look forward to having you on, because I know there's much more that I want to discuss with you, and an hour is just not enough. So,
oh, thank you.
You're welcome. So thank you so much, beloved listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in each week, and until we meet again, God bless, and goodbye for now. Let's go out.